Well, thank you guys both for taking a little time out this morning. We're excited to have a little For Ahsoka come back here to New England soon.
Yeah. Happy to be up in New England, always.
You guys, you've played so many venues through the years, and you've done it for what, more than 30 years now. I wonder, when you play an iconic venue, a Carnegie Hall, the Grand Ole Opry, even after all this time, does it seem a bit surreal to you?
Yeah,
I think the Carnegie Hall is the one that I would characterize as surreal, because we opened for the band.
Wow.
And I don't even know, is Garth still with us? I guess maybe Garth and is Robbie still with us?
No.
But right. So what happened was the band was booked at Carnegie Hall, and they had an opening act that fell out pretty right before the gig. And so they offered it to us to open for them. And our bass player was on vacation, so we just did it as a three-piece. At the time, we were a four-piece band. And it went okay, and we got to hang out with them. And then at the end of their show, their encore was, what was it?
Willie and the Hand-Drawn.
Willie and the Hand-Drawn, right. So they asked us to come out and sing it with them, and we're there at Carnegie Hall, and I look back, and there's Levon singing and playing the drum with a big smile on his face. And Rick had two fans on him, because I guess he got really hot when he played. So it was just, yeah, surrealistic. I mean, these are, you know, the probably pound for pound, the one of the greatest bands that ever lived. And we got to hang out with them. And the only regret is they made special picks for the gig, and it said maybe something like, how do you get to Carnegie Hall, the band, something like that. And they gave me a pick, and my brother, I lost it, so I'm still looking for that band at Carnegie Hall pick.
Kevin, what's the process when it comes to songs to record? Do you come in with mostly finished products, or do you work out a lot of things in the studio?
We come in with mostly finished products. We tend to demo the songs pretty thoroughly, but every once in a while, it's fun when you come in with something and something just changes. You know, somebody says, you know, maybe we should do it a little faster, you know, just as an example, or maybe we should add an instrument here that we hadn't really thought about, you know, from the demo process. You know, I think both Michael and I are, we definitely have strong ideas about the ways that we want to arrange and the instrumentation on the songs, but I think we also have a lot of respect for the knowledge of the players that we get a chance to play with. And so chances are, if somebody has an idea, it's certainly worth trying. You know, it's kind of I would say it's sort of akin to being, a director on a film. You can come in and say, well, this is my movie and I'm directing it, and I don't care what any of the actors' opinions are. I just want them to say the lines as written and stand over where I tell them to stand and hit the marks and whatever, you know, because that's my vision. But, you know, chances are the actors that you're going to work with, just by the nature of the business, are going to have a lot more on set experience than the director has had. So if you cut off the possibility that they're going to offer something of value, you're really shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, I'd say the new album is great. Well, Still Call It New came out last year, but boy, Michael, the band is so tight on Ballad of the Brothers.
Yeah, we're just working on a live. We taped a bunch of stuff from the new record and new songs even after that. And we got a really nice live take of it. So it's nice to have the live along with the recorded version, because then it sort of shows how the thing kind of came together. And so we have the same violin player and I'm playing cello. But Joe Niccolo, who's a friend of ours from Philadelphia, mostly known for being the head of Rough House Records, which has in the 90s, 2000s, had enormous amounts of hits. And he produced that with me. And it was just a lot of, it's a goofy song. It's really hard because it has so many words. It's just really hard to remember them all. But it goes over great live, and we really have fun playing it.
The song that kicks off the album, Take Off This Tattoo, what a blast to ride along with that. Kevin, how was it working with the young producer of that song?
The young producer of that song, who also happens to be my son, is great. I have worked with him on some Baker Brothers stuff. He has produced one song for us before called Karaoke Town, he's excellent, and he has just, you know, based on the kind of music he plays and the kind of music he likes and his age and all the things, he's just got a different sort of point of view. And when we wrote that song in Nashville with some Nashville writers, and you know, when you write a song with, you know, a couple acoustic guitars in a room, you know, the song has a very specific sort of, you know, simplicity. And it certainly felt a little bit more like a country song when we wrote it, just based on the fact we wrote it in Nashville. But we kind of had this vision that maybe it could be just bigger and, you know, a little more harder edge and have a more kind of electronic vibe. And that was definitely, that's in Travis's sweet spot.
Boy, I love Airport Bar. Some great, if I dare say so, Beatlesque harmonies on that. It's just a wonderful song. Michael, is that you on the cello on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the cello player in the band. And what's really been nice in the last couple of years is the cello has really become integrated, as opposed to being maybe almost a curiosity because I would use it on one song. And we're finding more and more that some of the harder edge songs work really well on cello, particularly Tattoo. I don't play rock cello really. I don't have any processing pedals or anything on my cello, but I find that the cello has enough interesting expressions without any electronic components. And for instance, if you play Way Down by the Bridge, all the overtones go crazy on top and you can hit it with the bow. Luckily, my cello is carbon fiber and so is my bow. So I hit it pretty hard. But I'm really, really enjoying playing cello with the band, and also auto harp I've recently rediscovered. And Losing the Night, I played auto harp on that, and we have that in the set now. That's a lot of fun.
Plus, the nice thing about the cello is you get to spend more of the set sitting down.
Exactly. At my age, I'll take any time I can get sitting down.
I don't think if you do it live, anybody's going to sit down when you play Put Your Hand Up. But Kevin, what a great slice of Philly soul and funk that is.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You know, that was just definitely like one of those songs where I was just like, I just went down a rabbit hole, was kind of immersed in, I've always been a fan of soul music. I mean, that was really like the thing that was so important to me when I was growing up. But then I was just kind of revisiting a lot of that, but also Philly, but also Memphis. And I just felt like, yeah, let me write something that's going to be fun and going to give people a chance to be involved. And also just kind of, I mean, the whole essence of and point of that song is that, you know, if you're struggling with something, you're not alone. I mean, it's one of the lyrics, and that's really the point.
We're talking with the Bacon Brothers, Michael and Kevin. And Michael, love that jazzy feel you guys get on Freestanding.
Yeah, what that came about, we used it as a transition between a couple of songs, and we kind of messed around with it, putting on this record because we've never done an instrumental before. So it was originally called Free Something, and now freestanding, meaning now instead of being a transition, I made it twice as long and put solos in it, and it's unusual. I don't think there are many bands that have a track like that on their CD. It's a lot of fun. Plus, we used Manona, who was our keyboard player for many years, who is also he just kind of got tired of the touring about 3 or 4 years ago. He's also a church organist and plays keys in the band. But keys are his third instrument down below brass and woodwinds. So he does all the saxophones and pretty much all the brass, and he's played them in various songs. So it was really fun to get him on a track because he's such an amazing soloist and, probably the best musician I've ever worked with.
As somebody who's got a few miles on the odometer myself, I love old Bronco. Kevin, is that actually your Bronco that we hear at the beginning of the song?
It's absolutely my Bronco. Yes, that's called take your microphone into the garage and try to get that thing started.
Well, the new album's great. I think the last time we talked with you guys was shortly after the release of The Way We Love. The work you did on Erato was great. In memory of When I Cared, what a fantastic song.
Thanks. Remembering When I Cared was really cool because we got a chance to work with Desmond Child, which was just, pretty amazing kind of, just talk about a hit maker. Wow. His process of songwriting, if you write by yourself or just with your brother for many, many, many years, you don't often get a chance to kind of explore the what other people's process is like and exchange ideas about or basically listen to what their thoughts are about how their songs are constructed. And so that was really a great lesson, being with Desmond. I felt personally like he taught me a lot.
Hey, to both of you, I just love the work you did on The Bondsman. I thought it was great. The music, the work with Jennifer Nettles was awesome. I'm sorry there's not going to be more of it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Kevin, before we let you go, can we talk about the work that you do with 6 Degrees and get that out there for people if they don't know?
Yeah, sure. 6degrees.org was is an organization that I started in 2007, sort of to highlight people who are out there in the world, in the field, doing good work across. Kind of across the board, people who are probably working hard and trying to keep these amazing nonprofits going without a lot of exposure. And so that's kind of what our point of view is. There's a lot of very, very big organizations that really don't need our help. It's the smaller ones that do. And so that's really what we're about.
And Michael, if you wouldn't mind, because you worked with him a lot through the years, could you share your thoughts on the passing of the great Bill Moyers?
I think I did my first soundtrack for Bill. I think it was 1986. And when he died, first of all, Bill was a fantastic guy. I consider him a friend, and also Judith, his wife, and a lot of his staff, because I worked with them for so long. And what I did is I went back and I kind of revisited all the shows that I did with him and picked two or three cues to I sent to his main producer. And so that's kind of like my way of giving a tribute to him and being inspired by the things that he asked me to interpret into music. And I miss him. He was an amazing guy, and a one of a kind for sure.
The Bacon Brothers in concert, September 11th, Plymouth, New Hampshire, September 12th in Derry. Michael, Kevin, great to talk with you again. We appreciate you making time for us. Good luck out there on the road.
Thanks for your help with our shows. It means a lot.
Take care.
Okay,
bye. Thank you so much, Rich.